Warrior Showcase with USD 253 Superintendent Dr. Allison Anderson Harder. Our showcase brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226.
Like what you buy? Love how you spend it. Credit cards are available at Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Enjoy local service. Talk to the staff you know and trust right here in Emporia. Free balance transfer to consolidate other credit cards to a lower rate at ESFCU. Choose from multiple card types to fit your needs. Apply online at esfcu.com or text or call them today to get started. 620-342-2336. Federally insured by the NCUA, Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
The Emporia Showcase with UST 253 Superintendent Dr. Allison Anderson Harder. Allison, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Ron?
Doing wonderful. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. It's coming very quickly.
It really is. It's about break time, huh?
It is.
Can you feel the excitement in the schools? Everybody ready for a little bit of a break?
Yes, and you can see, yes, definitely excitement with the students and staff.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So it's close, and Allison's going to run that down. We've got an interesting topic today. We always do with our showcase program, but we're going to be talking about the decision makers when it comes to making weather-related closing and late start decisions. Uh-huh. Never a controversial topic there, that's for sure. And we'll find out how these decisions are made and what goes into it.
Absolutely.
Right here this morning. But first, we want to kick off the program, as we always do, with our hashtag Emporia Proud Moments. Allison?
Thank you. We're ready. Last week, 303 students performed in our 89th annual seasonal celebration. Performers included Emporia Middle School and high school choirs and orchestra, EHS band, dance team, and student narrators. The students and their directors all did an amazing job, and we are very proud of everyone involved in this production.
Rave reviews, by the way.
It was awesome. I was at the dress rehearsal, and there were several retired staff members from some time ago, and they said it's just the same quality as always.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome job.
Congratulations to Emporia High School senior Gabriella Arrivalo. Gabriella was notified by Emporia State University last week that she was selected as a Jones Premier Nursing Scholarship recipient. She will receive a full scholarship to ESU to major in nursing. So very, very proud of Gabriella. Emporia High School Student Council will sponsor a blood drive on Thursday, January 9th, 2025, from 12:30 p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. The blood drive will be held at the Flint Hills Mall, which is a part of the American Red Cross High School Scholarship Program. Anyone interested in donating blood can sign up at the Red Cross website. And then, as always, we like to have a bond construction update. William Allen White Elementary is approximately 84% complete. We just had a board tour last Wednesday, and it is looking wonderful.
84%. We're just about there.
I know. No decimal points either.
I know.
Full 84%. Recent progress includes the installation of sod around the new addition, enhancing the landscaping and exterior appearance of the building. And then over Thanksgiving break, the remaining rooftop HVAC units were installed. Then over during winter break, kitchen equipment will be moved into the existing kitchen into the new one. The new addition is nearly complete and will be turned over to the district during the break, ensuring that it is ready for students when they return in January. Both the Kansas State Fire Marshal and the City of Emporia have provided their approvals, with the Fire Marshal signing off on the addition and the city granting occupancy. As the project moves into its next phase, preparations are underway for additional work inside the existing school during winter break. These efforts continue to align with the overall timeline, bringing the project closer to full completion. We're actually a little bit ahead even.
How about that?
Yeah, we don't want to hex anything, but it is, getting closer. And then, mentioning break, our students and staff are preparing for their well-deserved winter break. Students will finish their semester at the end of the day on Thursday, December 19th, and will return to school on Tuesday, January 7th. Staff will conclude their duties on Friday, December 20th, and will return on Monday, January 6th, for a professional development day. The district extends its warmest wishes for a safe, happy holiday season to all students, family, and staff. We hope that everyone enjoys a restful break, and we look forward to welcoming everyone back in 2025.
Restful break during the hectic holiday season.
Right.
Huh? Hopefully everybody can take a deep breath and decompress a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Anyway, with family and friends over the holiday. Well, nice update there. Boy, construction project The end is in sight, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's hard to believe. And everything, their new multi-purpose room, the kitchen, music room, everything just smells and looks new. And so they're getting ready to move things, items in. And then the music room as well, getting ready to add. So students can hopefully use that very quickly after winter break.
And then next on the docket, probably going to have to be something done at Mary Herbert, huh?
There is that chance.
From what I've been hearing.
Yeah, there is that chance. Well, still remains to be determined.
That was a little bit of a surprise. Well, we didn't want that surprise.
What? Well, maintenance is a big part of what's going on all the time.
Absolutely.
That is for sure. Well, let's get to our topic this morning. The guests here will be sharing how Emporia Public Schools, they're committed to prioritizing the safety and well-being of students and staff always when making weather-related closing and late start decisions. And we've got a team of administrators in here this morning to share their insights into what goes on behind the scenes and how these decisions are made when it comes to we're going to start late, we're not going to go at all today. And a lot of people like to share their input on this topic, and I'm sure all of you have heard from residents here when it comes to closings and snow and ice and all this. And we'd like to welcome to our studios this morning Michelle Charbonneau, Director of Transportation, USD 253. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming up this morning.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that. Mrs. Pam Stranathan, Assistant Superintendent of Business Operations. Pam, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice to have you up here. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Thank you.
And Lindell Langren. Lindell, familiar to our programs and his voice here on the radio, Director of Communications and Marketing, USD 253. Lindell.
Yeah, good morning, Ron. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, how you doing today?
We're doing good because we haven't had to use any of these things we're going to talk about yet.
it's
a win. So.
There has been no winter weather issues whatsoever.
None at all. So we're happy with that.
All right. Well, let's start with you, Michelle, Director of Transportation. Obviously, safety of the kids and obviously your drivers, too, come into play when we have winter weather. So what starts when we've got some snowfall first and some wind and winter weather? How does your day start?
Very early.
It does.
We have a team of three of us that go out and check the road conditions. I do drive from out of town, so I have a little bit of insight on the highway conditions. And then we check city roads and country roads to make sure that all of those are going to be safe.
All right. So what goes into that? I mean, you kind of drive around just a little bit. Where do you go? How does this work?
So we choose country roads to go out on. Those are mainly to look for, like, snow drifts and things like that. We do city roads, check out intersections. I think, again, the highway stuff. So
are you four-wheel driving it out there then? I mean,
no. No, we're not. My vehicle isn't anyway. So okay. I don't know what Dr. Harder drives. But it just kind of depends on where we're at and what vehicle we have.
Okay, so you're out, and you said, a team of three?
Yes.
Three, and do you then report to Allison? How does the process work?
We keep in communication, with Dr. Harder and Pam Stranathan, and then Jasmine Beyer, the assistant director, and myself all keep in communication to help make that decision.
Okay, so Pam, are you the other driver then?
No, okay. I do not get to do that. Why? There are other people out driving. I get to work on the other side of that with the operations with our director, Corey Nicolette.
Okay.
And we start that process of getting custodians at the buildings, starting to clear the sidewalks, starting to work on the parking lots, getting the maintenance out there. So while they're out driving the roads, I'm working on the infrastructure on the inside, trying to get everything cleared. So
we have a map. We have a map that's split out into three. So Michelle takes one spot, Jasmine takes another spot, and I have the other. And so
Jasmine who?
Beyer, the Assistant Director of Transportation.
Okay.
So we all have, and then we have a text chain, and then if we need to call. So we're out there just, what does this look like for two-wheel drive? So even though we want to maybe have four-wheel drive if we have access to that in case, because we don't, getting stuck doesn't help anybody. So just making sure that it is going to be as safe as possible. So we are having a lot of communication, and we're starting very early. So
how early is very early?
Well,
4:30.
Yeah, 4:30.
Sometimes earlier, just depends on what the forecast is.
Mm-hmm.
So when do your first routes generally take off for the day?
We actually have a route that goes to Kansas School for the Deaf. and they actually leave at 5:45.
Okay.
But that decision can be a little bit different than what's for our district. Sometimes their district chooses to close. But our other routes start as early as 6.
Okay. So you like to get out when then?
Approximately
about 4:30. And it will take you, on average, how long during your driving around to determine yay or nay or delay?
Sometimes that's a very quick decision. And then other times it takes a little bit longer so that we have that time to communicate on the different pieces of what that looks like.
I would assume you'd like to get this decision made as early as possible so you can get the information out there to parents because, you know, if we're going to cancel school, a lot of people have to make some different plans.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I have to make that decision.
Yeah.
So Michelle and Jasmine are out there driving, and we're communicating, yes. And sometimes it is really clear. Like, if there's ice, if there is visible ice, and we can see that semis are having a difficult time, cars, then that's going to be a fairly quick.
Yes.
If there's just a patch of it, and then most of our area is not, then that might be something else. But we really try, and I know we'll get a little bit later, but we really try not to delay because there's just the domino effect. For food service, we have students and parents that rely on us for breakfast and lunch. So having breakfast is really important. And so we take into account that we have parents that work very early. They may be driving out of town. They may have early shifts. But then how do we make sure that ideally, we would have enough data that we could make that decision the night before. So even if we make it at 10 p.m., we try to do it like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, depending on what information is available to us. But then if it looks like we're going to have to make that decision in the morning, and then if we need to have school, and we're able to have school, and thinking about our students that we have a high percentage of students on low SES, so they qualify for free and reduced lunches, so making sure they're getting food, that warmth also, and then parents are able to go to school, because childcare is another, because even though we may close school, parents are going to have to go to work very likely.
Yeah, so there's a lot riding on this.
There is.
How pressure packed is this?
It is very stressful.
Yeah,
when
I bet
we start getting in the ice, we're always watching radar. So you know we're always looking ahead at what the temperature is. Look at precipitation, wind chill. There's a little bit of different guidance with the National Weather Service as far as those terms that are being used. But we still look at wind chill. So that may be that's another piece of that because we have a number of students that are walking to either school or the bus and then waiting out for that bus to come. So there's a lot of sleepless nights, but we just want to make sure that we're making the right decision, the safest decision for our kids.
Well, and you know, you mentioned that you'd like to be able to make the call like the night before.
Yes.
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to be able to get it done. But if we're kind of teetering on we could have it or not, you wait as long as you can then?
Wait as long as we can, that might be like 5 a.m.
Yeah,
so we're trying to figure out how to make sure that we're having – because the other piece of that is then if we have to dismiss school early. So we've luckily not had to do that very often, and it's been for other reasons. But that's another piece of that. And then, you know, the one making that final decision, it's not usually a lot of credit that you get. sometimes, there's that blame.
I don't think a lot of back padding comes into that.
Not really. So when that final is just what is the best decision that's for our students, and then what's the reason, why is the reason that we made it?
Yeah, you bring up a good point, too, because there have been occasions to where you have had school, but then we've got a blizzard system rolling in here, and it hits before school's coming out. So you're then determining, let's get these kids out of here before it gets too bad?
Right. And a situation we had previously was we'd had some situation with the fuel, and then there were the rural routes were just very very difficult to transport students to get the buses. And so that brought in a whole other dynamic that we hadn't really had to consider before. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle, let's talk about that because there are and have been occasions where in-town hasn't been that bad, but, blowing and drifting really can be affected out on rural roads, right?
Right. So our drivers keep in really good communication with the parents of those students. And so a lot of times those parents are calling us first and saying, I'll take my kids to school tomorrow. or they'll meet us at a house that's closer to town. So a lot of those parents will bring in. The difficult piece sometimes for parents to understand is just because your car can get through a road doesn't mean that a bus can. And so sometimes that causes a little bit of stress for the parents because they just don't understand. But a lot of the times, having that backup plan for those country students helps get them to school.
Well, and I'm sure the bus drivers don't enjoy being out when weather is that adverse either.
But, you know? They don't enjoy it, but they are prepared for it. We do a lot of things to get them ready for that, teaching them how to dress, having them teach their students how to dress just in case they are waiting. We get there early to get the buses ready, warm them up a little more, do all the scraping, all of those things. So they actually get there about 5 o'clock. About at that time we make that decision is when a lot of them are showing up on those bad weather days anyway.
So how many drivers do you have in play during an average day?
So between our drivers and our paras and our shop staff, there are 53 of us.
Okay, how many buses are out there?
About 49 total, but on a given day, probably about 30 are out driving.
So what is their process when they first get there? Like, do you have block heaters on these buses then?
We do. Okay. Anything that's under 32 degrees, we have the cords out there and ready, and then they plug them in. And then our rule is after Thanksgiving, we just start plugging them in. Don't worry about the temperature. That way they're just ready to go. And we usually keep that up till February, depending on the temperatures.
So when do you fuel your buses?
They get fueled anytime they go below half a tank. And then also every single Friday. So some of our buses won't use half a tank in that week, if some of the shorter routes, but they always get fueled on Friday. But we do put additive in them to help prevent that gelling up of the diesel fuel.
So are you in pretty good shape driver-wise right now?
We could always use more activity drivers. And we're sitting pretty good for route drivers, but we need activity drivers.
I bet you do. I mean, just in following all the activities, or at least most of the activities that go on at USD 253, quite frankly, I don't know how you keep up, you know, because you're going somewhere, somebody's going somewhere all the time.
Yeah, we even have trips over the Christmas break or winter break. We have trips that are going out over that, too. So,
well, thanks for all you do. Interesting perspective on
that.
And Lindell, now once all this stuff is, we got a lot of branches on this tree here. And a lot of movements and a lot of information to distribute. How does it all work on your end?
Well, once I'm usually sitting at my living room table with the computer up, just in case I usually have the messages. Or not usually, I have messages ready. I have a message ready for, hey, we're delaying 2 hours, or we are canceling, or we are go. So I have all those messages already ready. And so then once Dr. Harder sends me the text that, hey, this is what we're going to do, then we put that into motion. Hopefully she says we're going, and I go back to bed for once. But that's not always the case. So then I pull out the messages that we have, because there are, and with a delay, it definitely, there's more pieces to that, whether it's food service, whether it's the Jones morning class, whether, all of those different pieces of delaying 2 hours and, when everybody comes and when buildings open. So that does present more challenges. So, in a perfect world, it's either a cancel or we're going. But, we have to do what's best and what's safest for the students and for our staff. And so once I get that text that says, yes, this is what we're going to do, let's say we're going to cancel, then I put that into motion. And then this year will be the first time that we're using Parent Square. And so I'm excited about that option. One of the main things, or one of the pieces of Parent Square that the people may not realize, is it goes out instantly. With the system that we were using before, it may take 30 minutes to get everybody notified because it was a calling system. So it took much longer to do that. So, if the decision didn't come in until 5:45, there was, it could be 6:15, 6:20 before everybody's getting that message. Now, with help from you guys and the Gazettes and that, we usually can get that out in a number of different ways. But as far as that message to the families, that would take some time. With Parent Square, that's not the case. And the other nice thing about Parent Square, it's texting everybody. And so if it can't text you, then it's going to call you. So everybody's going to be getting those texts first. And that's what our families seem to like. That's what the community, what works best. And so with Parent Square, we're going to be texting all the families, emailing the families. And then, like I said, if it doesn't get that text through, then it does go ahead and send out a phone message as well. So once I get that message or once I get the, you know, what we're going to do, it doesn't take long to get that out.
I was going to say, how long does it generally take you?
Well, like I said, since I already have the messages created, you know, if we have to, you know, tweak things, like, you know, I can get the message out within 5 or 10 minutes. And so then it's going out, and like I said, and they're getting it instantly. And so that's huge over what we've been able to do in the past. I mean, it was a quick process before, but it's going to be so much quicker, and everybody's going to have that instantly. So, you know, I send out the parent score messages. We notify KVOE and the Gazette. And like I said, you guys get those messages out for us as well, which we greatly appreciate. We also put that on social media.
Sure.
We put the same message on our website. So if somebody was, you know, wanted to see something later, you know, especially if it was a delay or something, and there's more pieces to that, that will be there that they can get that as well. And then we do contact our radios, or not only radios, but the TV stations in the Topeka area. We do have some families that still, you know, pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So we send out so many different options and so many different messages and that sort of thing to try to make sure that regardless of how you want your communication, you're getting it, whether it's with social media, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on TV, whether, you know, however, we're sending it and covering out all of our bases with that.
Well, it's a pretty swift process you've got this molded into now.
Yeah. I've done it a few times, and so it's a pretty quick process. Like I said, this new process, like I said, using Parent Square, I am excited about that just because of the turnaround time for our families.
Well, good job, Lindell.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Like a well-oiled machine we have here. Again, Lindell is the Director of Communications and Marketing, USD 253, Lindell Langren. Pam Stranathan is the Assistant Superintendent of Business Operations. Pam, let's go through your checklist here.
Okay.
When we have either a late start or a total cancellation of school for the day. I mean, what exactly... What do you jump into here?
So we start off really early. Corey Nicolette, who's our director over maintenance, we start having conversations. Allison and I start having conversations, Dr. Harder, really early, sometimes 5 o'clock. We'll start having those. But Corey will start getting the crews out there, so he'll start getting our building custodians out there. They'll start working on the sidewalks, the entrance. Even if there's a chance that we are not going to open or delay, we still start very early to get that accumulation down, so it's just not building up on itself throughout the morning. And then we've got maintenance out there that are working on the entranceways into the parking lots and the parking lots. If we end up getting over 4 inches accumulation at one time, then APAC is a company that we contract with, and they'll come in with extra equipment to help us move that. So it starts very early, and it can even start the night before, or if needed, we can call crews in that even as early as 2:30 if we start seeing that accumulation starting to occur. So
do you contact then food service too? Are you responsible for that? Because there's some changes and things that have to happen on that front too, right?
And so David and I, Carlson, who's our director of food service, and Michelle, we all start having that communication of coordinating. The biggest thing with the food service is unless it's called off, even if it's a delay, they continue to get things ready for our students, because even if it's a delay, we still have students that will need to be provided breakfast, even if it is a delay. And so they'll either do like a grab and go or something smaller than a normal breakfast that we would serve, but something that would meet the needs of the students coming in. So a lot of conversations there, trying to coordinate. Especially food service is probably the one that gets a little bit, like I said, dicey, just trying to, you know, prepare and get things ready, but just depending on what that morning's going to look like. So,
well, there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes.
Yes, there is. A lot of people moving.
So. And Allison, never any complaints on your decision,
oh,
right?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%, what is that, 100% satisfaction?
Yeah. A-plus rating.
A-plus every time. It's just flawless. Well, and I think the other thing that's a little difficult for people to understand is that we may have some other districts near us that are closing or delaying. And so they are able to have a delay and pivot a little easier than what we are. And so just given just the size of the district, and so if you have 200 students as opposed to over 4,000, it's just a little bit different. And so we're all on a text chain. So the superintendents were like, hey, what are you thinking tomorrow? What are you seeing? Because also just with weather, it just doesn't hit just Emporia or just Northline County or Council Grove. It's where do you see that? So we stay in good communication, and it – typically if somebody's making a call and giving the reasons, and it just helps us because they're also seeing it come in. So that's helpful. And I do want to say we have a great partnership with the city and county. They do a great job with the roads in town and outside in the rural on the roads. And so we just really, really appreciate all of them.
And I know here locally, too, I think Sacred Heart and the Emporia Christian School kind of follow your lead for the most part in
yes.
their decisions, too. So.
Yes.
Well, a lot goes into this and a lot of work. But it sounds like you're prepared for any adverse conditions that arise. And I think that's pretty evident, the way you get things handled and handled swiftly. So thanks for all you do and appreciate the insight here this morning.
Thank you. Well, we have a great team. There is a ton of people behind the scenes working and trying to make those. How do we communicate that out also to our staff? Because we do have staff that drive in as well. So, yeah, we have a great team. Thanks for having us,
Ron. Yeah, thanks. Michelle Charbonneau, Director of Transportation. Michelle, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Pam Stranathan, Assistant Superintendent, Business Operations. Pam, thank you.
Thank you.
Lindell Langren, Director of Communications and Marketing. Lindell, thanks.
Yep, thanks for having us again.
And Allison, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you all. That is the showcase for this month, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226. It's 856.
Simmons Pet Food is proud to be a